Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. We know the rest is coming in that beautiful land one day. We'll be faithful. Praise God. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Appreciate the Lord so much. He's been so good to me, Brother Collins.
So good.
Been so gracious, merciful. I'm glad I got acquainted with him. Not one time since I've been saved have I ever regretted I made a start. Many times I thought, well, I guess I might as well give up on the ministry. You know, got discouraged, different things, but not on serving God. And I'm not even discouraged with my ministry now, but there have been times, and every preacher, I suppose, will tell you there's times when you seem like that you might as well give up, you know, but then God comes, and maybe somewhere you hit a hard spot and you can't seem to go over, then somewhere else he lifts you up. Praise God. You know, the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that God had to give us a broken wing once in a while lest we get lost in the clouds. Praise God. Well, I might share a scripture with you and talk here a while from the Word of God. Appreciate being here. Appreciate the Lord. I'm so glad one day I got acquainted with him. Right over here on 7th and Chestnut Street, back in 1941, the Lord spoke peace to my heart. Praise God. And I'm glad that peace abides tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm glad that I know him.
So glad.
That I got acquainted with him.
So glad.
That he reached out and touched my life and turned me around. And started me toward that heavenly city that Jesus went away to prepare. In the book of Galatians, I'll read just a few verses of scripture here. I begin in the 12th verse. It says, as many as desire to make a first show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit. Amen. That's in the sixth chapter, last chapter of Galatians, and the last few verses.
Yeah.
It's the words of the Apostle Paul. And of course, we know one of the big problems, if you've read your Bible, one of the big problems of the church there was they were being taught by false teachers to go back under the law and under circumcision and salvation by works. But when Jesus died on the cross, when he expired and surrendered his spirit to the Father and gave up the ghost, the Bible said he cried, "It is finished," and then of course passed away and died and rose again. But that meant and signified the termination of the law of Moses as far as salvation was concerned by works.
Right.
Of course, I think we, you know, some of the principles of the law, I think, have carried over, Brother Collins into the grace dispensation.
Right.
But anyhow, here in this 17th verse, it says, Paul said, "For henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." This is the words of the great apostle that suffered so many things to spread the gospel. I don't know how many years that he preached. I don't think we have any record. You know, I assume that he was a young man when he started preaching. And I thought of this young man earlier in the service who was up here preaching. You know, it's great for young people to make a dedication to God.
Certainly.
And move out for the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul spent many years in the ministry. Of course, he had been, as you know, I guess, about all of you know that he was a Pharisee, and he is a very religious man, very dedicated to the Pharisee religion, and even persecuted the church and had caused them to blaspheme, and maybe caused some to be put to death, probably, and witnessed the stoning of Stephen, the faithful martyr, the first martyr in the Christian church. And then, of course, he was converted on the Damascus Road and went out and preached many years. Wrote the biggest part of the epistles of the New Testament. I don't know, recall just how many. And did a great work for God. But I think this scripture signifies that he paid a price for his ministry. He said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And I believe that he had scars from the scourgings and the whippings and all of that, the beatings that he had experienced. And why was that? Because the world was opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As it's always been. And as I was sitting there thinking a while ago, I think about probably 95% of the civic governments, the civil governments of the world, have been against God and against the gospel. And I think that's true in our case today. I don't believe that our leaders and our government as a whole, at large, I don't believe that they're in favor of the truth of God. You see, the truth makes enemies. It signifies friendship. It divides people. And it takes courage to stand for God. It takes courage to be a Bible Christian and to live according to God's Word. Now, it doesn't take much backbone just to go with it, with the tide and say, "Well, everybody's doing it, I'll do it." But it takes courage to swim upstream.
Right.
And that's what you're going to have to do if you live for God.
Right.
Bible said, "All men that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution."
Yes.
But Jesus said he'd be with us. He resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. The devil told me when I started, "You won't last long." He told you, he said, "Well, it'll soon blow over."
Yeah.
And even some people thought so. But that's been 55 years ago. It hasn't blown over yet. And it hasn't got old yet, and I'm not discouraged, and I'm not in the least bit entertaining the thought of sitting down and quitting. I long for that rest, that home of the blessed.
Right.
It'll be sweet when we meet, for it all will be glory by and by. Hallelujah. There's a reward at the end of the way, folks. And so Here he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now he's talking about scars.
Sure.
Scar tissue.
Right.
Where he'd been beaten, where he'd been whipped.
Right.
Where they laid the cat o' nine tail across his back.
Right.
And tried to beat religion, salvation out of him. But they couldn't do it. No, they'd turn him loose. And he'd be a preacher maybe just in a short space of time.
Right.
Brother, he had the preach in him. Praise God. And so when God has something for us to do, we ought to be dedicated.
Right.
I'm glad I live in the United States of America. And that we don't have to worry, about maybe the law coming in, and I know this has happened in a few cases, but generally, and arresting us and throwing us in the hoose cow. No, I don't want that. Of course, some places in the world it's that way.
Right.
But oh, friend, it's an honor to suffer for Christ.
Yes.
It's an honor to bear the cross. How many believe it's an honor to stand up and for Jesus and let the world know what side you're on?
Right.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
You know something about these marks? They signify some things.
Uh-huh.
One thing they signify is ownership. You know, hallelujah. Paul was dedicated to Christ.
Yep.
And he could say, well, and he wasn't boasting. He said, now I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
Uh-huh.
I belong to him.
Right.
I received these for the cause of the gospel.
Amen.
You know, the gospel wasn't popular. And it's not popular now with the world. No, this isn't popular. But if you're looking for popularity, you'll not get it in the house, in the cause of Christ and in the house of God. No, the world doesn't understand this. And the Bible said, by wisdom the world knew not God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, for to save them that believe. To the world, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness.
Right.
And it tears down a lot of the structure of sinful society, I'll say.
Right, brother.
Hallelujah. You know, when a man preaching the gospel, he comes against satanic forces and sin in all of its ugliness. To try to get men to see the need to get right with God.
Hallelujah.
But to dedicate their life. And the devil doesn't like it.
Oh,
you know, when Paul and Silas was preaching there at Philippi, and here was this gal, you know, and she's a fortune teller, and they had a great structure, a great temple there they built for the goddess Diana, I believe they called her, and all that stuff. And of course they had businessmen there that capitalized on this idolatry and all this stuff, and they had the people eating out of their hand. But Paul and Silas came into town. Praise God. I'll tell you, back in that day, and it's been that way some in this day in places, when a man of God comes into town, people know about it. Hallelujah. Well, I believe you ought to let the world know what side we're on. How many believe that tonight? How many love the Lord? Let's give him a praise offering.
Hallelujah.
And of course, they begin to preach, and they didn't back down, and they didn't compromise. And you know, this lady, if I can call her that, she followed them. And she said, these men are the servants of the Most High God.
Yeah.
Buster Wilson said, if been a lot of preachers, they said, boy, we want to honor her. She's really giving us a big boost. But you see, the Apostle Paul could see through that sham.
Sure.
You know, the devil's got a lot of ways of defeating the gospel. Isn't that right?
Right.
And so, how that spirit was working against how the ministry of these men of God. And Paul, being grieved in his spirit, turned and rebuked that spirit. Right. Our brother Setzer, a while ago, said God's able to heal sicknesses and different infirmities. And she had one. Mm-hmm. Brother, the devil was in her. Yeah. And she had that spirit of witchcraft. That's what it was. And so Paul rebuked it and cast it out of her.
Yeah.
You'd have thought that those men and that the leadership and the folks there in that place would have been glad that to see the hand of God undertake.
Yeah.
But everybody, I'm sorry to say, isn't favorable to the gospel.
Right.
There's a lot of men that hate the gospel. They hate the word of God.
Right.
They'd put a padlock on. If they had the power to do it. Oh, but I'm glad we live in a free country. I'm glad we can go to the house of God on Saturday night. When a lot of folks are doing their grocery shopping and different things, that's their business. But I don't know a better place than the house of God. How many believe what I'm saying tonight? Hallelujah. Finally going to 7th and Chestnut.
50 years ago on Saturday night, I might not have been saved tonight. I might have been in the lost world.
What about that?
I was supposed to go to a party about 6 o'clock. I was deep in sin. I had no desire to get saved, and I thought, I'm just going to go to church tonight. Instead of going to that card party and that beer drinking party and going down to the Anchor Inn where I used to hang out, I'm going to
church tonight.
Hallelujah. I had no idea, Brother Spencer, I was going to get saved. But God had,
he had some ideas.
Hallelujah. God can reach down, Brother, and lift a man out of mortal sin and punish me on a solid rock and make him a pillar in the kingdom of God.
Right.
And so this lady, they cast that spirit out of her.
Sure did.
And it made the leadership and the government, the men, the magistrates and so on mad. You know, the devil can persecute. He can make it hard on the people of God.
Right.
He can, that's right. He has to have somebody to work through.
Right.
And he can work through these men.
Right.
And these folks, and they stir up a monster.
Right.
And they, well, they whipped them.
Sure did.
And they can take another tail across their back.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. Their bodies are soaked with blood.
No doubt.
Oh, they were suffering. They threw them in the Philippian jail.
That's right.
And right in there with a bunch of, you know, a bunch of incorrigible men in there.
No doubt.
And put them in the stocks. Yeah, we're gonna take care of these fellas. We never want them to come back here anymore. Look what they've done.
Yeah.
Now they destroyed our livelihood, our enterprise.
Right.
Yeah. Now we have things going our way.
Yeah.
Look what they've done. We'll take care of them. They threw them in the Roman jail. The Philippian jail.
Right. That's Roman jail.
And, you know, I don't know what time it was, but about midnight, I think, And Paul and Silas decided they'd just have a little church service, you know. They could have sit down and said, well, and one said to the other, isn't this terrible what's happened to us?
Yeah.
God must not think much of us. He wouldn't let this happen. Oh, but friend, listen, God knows what he's doing. A lot of times he lets us go through the fire and through the trials and all these things to perfect us. And in the great glory and glory to his name. Hallelujah. Heavenly Lady, let's praise him right now.
Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. Oh, the flesh doesn't like to suffer.
No.
No. I'm satisfied that they were in great pain. But they began to sing and to praise God.
Right.
And there was an earthquake, if I recall correctly, and God shook that old Philippian jail. Oh, and their stocks fell off. And the prisoners all, you know, where the power of God is, he set people free. He set those other prisoners free. I don't know what happened to them. I don't know where they got saved. I don't know where they cleared out.
How?
I don't know what happened. Crazy, there's one thing about it. They knew they had been in the Holy Ghost service.
That's right.
Hallelujah. In the trailer of the house.
Yeah.
And he threw out his sword. Tom was going to kill himself.
Right.
Because back in that time, if you were guarding a prisoner, you let him get away. It was your life or his.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, come out in the dark. Now do thyself no harm. We're all here. Glory, hallelujah. Well, you didn't let those stripes and that suffering and that bodily pain stop him from standing for God.
You're right.
Don't let anything stop us. Hallelujah. Isn't that right?
Right.
Hallelujah. There's been a lot of folks that said, well, that's enough for me. I'm going home. I'm going to hang my harp on the willow. No, not the Apostle Paul.
Right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so that jailer cried out and said, what was that to be saved? You think about a man ready to commit suicide 1 minute, I ain't going to get saved the next.
Yeah.
That's the way the gospel works.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. He said, no, what can I do? You know, you gotta know how to get saved.
All right.
You can't save yourself, but there are certain ways you've got to come.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
To have a preacher.
Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He didn't say believe on me. He said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Hallelujah. You know Jesus is the way.
Yes.
He's the life.
Hallelujah.
I'm glad he's the same yesterday and today and forever.
Yes.
I'm glad he hasn't lost his saving power.
Hallelujah.
His power hasn't diminished one bit.
Not a bit.
Hallelujah. If man will believe on him. Hallelujah. And so that sailor got saved in his household, and he washed their stripes. Brother just had a great time. But he had no scars from that whipping. And he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
Sir.
Those scars signified the opposition of the devil to the truth of God.
Right.
You know the devil hates the truth?
Right.
He hates the truth. You know why? Because it's destructive to his kingdom. Is that right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Brother, they fire in the gospel.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so it signified, you know, something. And those stripes that Paul had were deep.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know how many stripes he had. I know he said one place that I've been, I said five times I'm beaten with 39 stripes. If my multiplication is right, that's 195 times.
beaten with 100. And then another place he spoke about having been in imprisonments and stripes and all that. Another place he spoke about being whipped and so on. Brother Gary Black said when they, you know, once he's left for dead, Gary Black said, I guess he just a pile of bloody bone. There they whipped him and beat him so bad. And then God raised him up. Oh, aren't you glad God can do things? Oh, he can help us. I don't want to blast down on this and burst your ears on it. I'm a little conscientious about loud figures anyhow. Running out of juice.
All right. Well, like maybe somebody's wishing out, hoping I'll run out of energy. Oh, friend, I'll tell you, it's an honor to serve God. It's an honor to stand for the truth. Isn't that right? It's an honor to declare the whole counsel of God. And these scars were branded right into his soul. Not only his body, but his soul. And listen, friend, if you live for God, you have that mark, hallelujah, in your soul. I believe that we bear the marks of the Lord Jesus, maybe not literally stripes, but we're branded for him. Hallelujah. Like the farmer brands his stock. My mother told me about my grandfather. He died before I was born, but years ago in the mountains of Kentucky, they'd let their hogs run in the mountains, and they'd live off of the mast acorns and chestnuts and all those things they had back then. But they would make a mark. And every farmer knew his stock. He knew what his mark was. And so these stripes, they were marks for Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. Paul was a marked man.
Right.
Hallelujah. But he didn't compromise. He didn't go with the crowd. He didn't back down. When they were ready to lay their cat and nine tail across his back. No. He had an unction in there. How to preach the gospel. He had a burden for lost souls. Hallelujah. And God stood by him. Hallelujah. That jailer got saved. And oh, they sent down there, and those men, the magistrates and all of them, they said, tell these men to get out of town. And Paul said, well, we're in no hurry to get out of town. Let them come tell us themselves. Hallelujah. They knew, brother. They knew they were dealing with something that is out of their hands. Brother, it's dangerous to fool with a man of God. Isn't that right? Amen. Dangerous. Hallelujah. And then these scars are a testimony to the world's opposition to the truth of God. The devil hates the truth. I mentioned that a while ago, but we ought to stand for it. You know, the Bible said that Jesus was full of grace and truth.
Right.
He was the truth. Did you know that?
Right.
Jesus, he was the personification of the truth. He lived truth. Brother, he represented truth.
Right.
Hallelujah. And so he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And so, you know, when Paul was preaching Christ, he's preaching the truth.
Right.
And it was the world, they were opposed to it. And everywhere he went, nearly throughout Asia Minor, from the day that he gave his heart to God, from the day he was converted on the Damascus Road, and arose and began to preach Jesus Christ, and they waylaid him,
and we're going to kill him. And I heard that great message. I don't think I'll ever forget it, Brother Collins, that Brother Randy Webb preached here about the basket and the rope. And they laid him down. He hit the ground. Brother took off of preaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In spite of all the opposition and the danger that confronted him, Brother, he stood true. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. But listen. Somebody said, I tell you what. That was unjust for the Lord to let those things happen to him. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was whipped with 39 stripes. Under the Jewish law, they scourged a prisoner before they put him to death. And they gave him 39 stripes. And brother, they didn't play with him either. John W. Sullivan said they lacerated his back. I don't doubt that. Oh, the blood was streaming out. Oh, the Son of God. Oh, fella, I'm no better than he was. You're no better. When they begin to tongue lash you, if they don't take a black snake whip and lay it across your back, there's people can... they can leave scars on your soul.
Right.
Yeah, they can tongue lash you and it cuts. And it cuts deep. But we can be true to God. Hallelujah. My mother used to say, well, if they're talking about you or me, they're letting somebody else rest. Old Brother Mooneyham used to say, well, if you laid it on somebody right up the road, somebody's laid it on you. Hallelujah. But they talked about him. He was reproached. He was hated. He was thrown in jail. He was whipped. He went hungry. Oh, Paul, what's the matter with you? Don't you know? If you'd have stayed in the Pharisee religion, you'd have had a high position. You'd have had popularity. Yes, sir. You'd have been called rabbi. In the marketplace.
No doubt.
And you'd have had worldly popularity and esteem. But Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified. Nevertheless, I live. Yet Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Friend, we owe him something tonight. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Let me hurry on here. And you know, this shows a real Christian faith. That a person's established that they're not going to be carried about with every wind of the doctrine. They're not going to back down when they face adversity, when they face persecution, when they face even death. You know, when Paul was going to Rome and this was on another occasion, and the brethren, he stopped at different churches and places and talked to the brethren, and some of them had come out and weep and beg him not to go to Rome because of what waited for him there. And the prophet had prophesied and took his belt and put it on himself and said, the man that wears this belt is going to suffer many things in Rome. And, they pled with Paul. Not go. Paul, don't you go. We love you. We don't want you to go there and be martyred. He said, why do you break my heart to beg me not to go ahead and do the thing God has laid on my heart? He said, I'm willing to go and not only suffer, but to die for the gospel. Brother, are you dedicated tonight? Are you ready to die out to the world? Sister, are you ready to go all the way? Are you ready to bear the reproach? Are you ready to stand up and be counted and not back down from the world and the criticism and the vilification, but to live for God?
Yes, sir.
I want to be true.
Yes.
I want to be faithful.
Right.
I want to be dedicated.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. How many love him tonight? I'll hurry on here. Pray for me just a few more minutes. That shows a commitment to the truth when men will hold out faithful. Praise God. And I think God really, I think it takes some suffering, Brother Collins, to perfect us. I think it does. Peter said, after you suffered a while, God strengthen you and establish you. All that. Somebody said, well, now they've been talking about me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just can't hardly stand it. Don't pay no attention to it. Like the songwriter said, when you're talking about me, I'm going to talk about you on my knees. A fellow said it one time to me, my neighbor, and I loved him. He just got some information that wasn't straight, and he said, he told a fellow, said, I don't think Rector is what he's supposed to be. I never paid no attention to it. Praise God. Hallelujah. God knows my heart. I don't know what made him say that. But anyhow, he passed away. He had a heart attack. Later on, as good a friend as I ever had, he never did know that I found that out. But I didn't let that break my fellowship. No. Maybe he had a little cause. Maybe I, you know, something I'd done he didn't understand. But oh, listen, folks, sometimes people can cut you. They can kill your influence. They can, even though they don't literally take a, you know, whip and whip you, they can cut you to the bone and all of that and leave scars there. But oh, it'll heal. God can heal it. Praise God. And the Savior, when he was suffering and all of that, he looked down and said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they didn't. You hear me? They didn't know what they were doing. They thought they were killing a criminal. They thought they were persecuting a lawbreaker. But he was the Son of God. Hallelujah. He'd come to redeem the world. Hallelujah. And so he didn't, you know, he didn't have any animosity, no malice toward him. Brother, I'll tell you what, it's hard sometimes when people are pouring it on. Hallelujah. You know that you're in the right. Now, if you're buffeted for your faults, why, you won't get any grace and victory out of that. But, I mean, when you're innocent. And he was innocent. Paul was innocent. He didn't deserve the stripes that he got. He came. He was trying to help their society.
Right.
And he was helping their society. There at Philippi, he was destroying a false cult and a false teaching that was heading them toward hell.
Right.
But you see, a lot of people think more of their livelihood and their business than they do for God. Oh, friend, there's nothing any more important than a human soul. God's men are out to establish the kingdom of God and the truth in the hearts of men. Hallelujah. How many believe that? I'm going to soon close. But I'll tell you what, folks, let's stand for God. Hallelujah. Let's let the world know what side we're on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we're on the winning side. Those men probably thought they'd never see any more of the Apostle Paul when they left town. They will, though. They'll face him at the judgment. They'll face him at the judgment. People that persecute the people of God, friend, they're gonna give account. Don't worry about it. There's a day of reckoning coming. Jesus said, one place said, if you offend the least one of my children, or my, in other words, he said,
It's better to have a millstone hung about your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea.
Right, right, right.
And men that have whipped and mistreated and incarcerated God's people, God's men especially, and even ladies and women folks that stood for the gospel, they're going to face it one day. They're going to face it.
Right.
You know, did you know the saints of God are going to judge angels? And I believe we'll judge them that have mistreated us.
Better believe it.
I wouldn't doubt it. Hallelujah. There's a day of judgment coming. And there's a reward.
Right.
Hallelujah. And Paul, when he came down to the end of the way, he looked back. He sat down and wrote a letter. Oh, I'm glad to get to be here tonight. I felt the Lord. I don't know where you have or not. You know, I'm getting away up the road, folks.
Yeah.
I don't have too much longer. Heaven said, now, my wife, I love her. You know, we've been married 55 years, and I love her. But she said she's just getting over a bad case of sore throat, and the doctor told her as getting down in her lungs that virus, whatever it was, and I've had 3 sieges of it this winter. She said, now, we're not able to go down there. I said, honey, let's go. Seemed like I wanted to come. I just wanted to come, brother.
God.
Hallelujah, I'm glad I came.
Came,
praise God, I'm glad I came. I know, I'll be 80 years old in the 5th of June. And I know if I'm going to do anything anymore, I'm going to have to be about the Father's business. Oh, but listen. Hallelujah. The Bible said the path of a righteous man shineth.